You're listening to episode 17 of IDRA Class Notes.
Those expecting long-term benefits out of single-sex classes or single-sex schools need to realize that to be able to sustain that initial punch, which they're going to get,
absolutely,
are going to realize it's going to take an immense amount of effort to sustain that kind of energy.
This is Bradley Scott, and I want to welcome you to the IDRA podcast series. The Intercultural Development Research Association is, as I've told you many times before, a very small organization with a very big mission, and that is to make schools work for all children. I am really excited today to have with us Ms. Kathy Rigsby, who is Assistant Director with the InterWest Equity Assistance Center at Colorado State University out of Denver. And the reason why I am is because she is an individual with a lot of national recognition in the area of gender equity. In addition to that, she brings any number of years of experience to working with public school systems and helping them to deal with issues of gender, race, and national origin equity, with her concentration being clearly in the area of gender. And I've asked Kathy to come today and spend a little bit of time talking with us about some of the hot button issues in gender equity, one of which is the whole notion of single-sex education. Now, I'm sure that Kathy will probably be doing that in the context of all of the area of gender equity and Title IX, but clearly some of the issues and concerns that challenge public educators across the nation as we are dealing with these issues of educational equity. So, Kathy, let me say good afternoon to you, and thank you for being here.
I'm delighted to be here, Bradley.
And I really appreciate we are at the National Annual Agile Conference, the Association for Gender Equity Leadership in Education, that's being held here in San Diego. And I asked Kathy if she wouldn't step aside and spend a few moments with me talking about this issue. And so I really appreciate you pulling yourself out of the conference for a little bit, Kathy, in order to allow me to talk to you about this area.
Well, it's an area of great concern, I think, to all of us who've been working in the area of gender equity for any period of time because of the implications that come with single-sex education.
That kind of leads me into asking, I have two questions that I think might help us to establish some context. One of which is, first of all, how on earth did this whole issue of single-sex education come up when we're talking about Title IX of the Educational Amendments of 1972 that was at least working in some kind of way to get away from discriminating against boys and girls? How now does single-sex education come up and become such an issue of discussion and focus in public schools across the country?
Well, there's some of us that are still scratching our head in terms of how we got to this point. Single-sex education has become, for some people, as a way of addressing what they see are achievement issues for boys and girls, thinking that if children were segregated on the basis of sex, that we might see improved achievement. A lot of the thought, and I'll say I think these are people thinking in very good faith in what is best for children, have looked at some very questionable and very inconclusive research about the efficacy of single-sex schools. What is also so bewildering is that Title IX, when the regulation was written, and we're talking 30-some years ago, mm-hmm. it was 35 years ago.
Yeah, 1972.
Two was mm-hmm. when the law was passed, but in 1975 the regulation was promulgated, did allow for single-sex situations.
Such as
if it were necessary to create a single-sex class or environment to overcome past discrimination, it was possible to do so under the existing regulation for the period of time it took to overcome whatever the discriminatory history was. So that was always available to educators in the public school district. Also, Title IX grandmothered in the handful of single-sex public schools that we had in this country. So it was not anything that would end the existing single-sex...
And undo what was already a reality.
What was already there. For instance, the girls' high school in Philadelphia,
right.
A single-sex school, had been for 100-and-something years, and it still remains single-sex, and always did, under Title IX. What is of concern is why people are really going to single-sex. For some individuals, it is a social and religious and possibly political reason that they would want to have single-sex schools. I'm not so sure that the educational research is there to back their preferences.
That seems rather curious to me. What are the benefits or what accrues to these individuals or these organizations who might be talking about single-sex education for religious or political reasons?
I think you've just named the two things. For religious reasons, mm-hmm. there are individuals that do not want their sons and or their daughters to be dealing on a daily basis with the other sex. And others really feel a very conservative political movement, that it is better to separate. I don't happen to agree with that, but
sure.
that's some of what's sitting out there. The research, let me go back. The federal government, Department, U.S. Department of Education, commissioned a study to be done on single sex. And what they did was to eliminate the Women's Educational Equity Act Resource Center and took that $3 million, $3 million something, to fund this particular research. It was completed about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And in essence, it was inconclusive in terms of whether or not single sex creates the kind of achievement and growth for students.
That people are at least attesting to or saying that it should. So in other words, the research is still very new and it's still very inconclusive.
Correct.
And there are not enough studies that have been done to even begin to identify any critical points, either for or against single sex.
That is correct. Now, the studies that have come out of the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
Which has a long history of single
of course,
sex,
uh-huh.
single sex schools, has concluded very bluntly that it's not single sex that creates student achievement. It is the child's socioeconomic bracket. It is teacher expectation. It is a rich curriculum that make the difference.
So those things that we have...
And prepared teachers.
Right. Highly qualified and prepared teachers.
In
so
our language,
it's those things that we've been... that we know from research.
We know from research. And
exactly.
To put in a single-sex environment is not to guarantee it. A very real concern that I have in terms of single-sex environment, it does not end the stereotyping. It's not going to guarantee a rich curricula from which to pick. It's not going to guarantee highly qualified teachers
mm-hmm.
by any means. So the very kinds of things that Title IX has been for the last 30-odd years trying to correct, it's no guarantee that those will not resurface in a single-sex environment.
That's interesting. I'm wondering, Kathy, what is your read on... We are in an era right now in which a lot of these issues about equity and non-discrimination and the protection of civil rights seem to be under attack, or if not under attack, deliberate and intentional attention is being paid to them. How is it that this whole issue has seemed to have taken on a life of its own in this current day?
There are probably many answers to that, but I think there's also a certain sense of complacency that we've been there, we've done that, and we've all worn the T-shirt out
mm-hmm.
in terms of, what do you mean, we didn't accomplish that?
Like way back then?
Way back then.
Uh-huh.
You know, didn't we do that last year?
Okay.
As opposed to realizing the kinds of equity issues that are in education are every day by every person in every classroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one-time thing.
And it's something that we have to continue to pay attention to ongoingly.
One of the things that's beginning to surface, or has surfaced, I should say, in single-sex classes and schools are those that are race-based.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very real caution that we don't completely wipe out the gains within the civil rights communities in the name of so-called single-sex achievement. There is a real move to take particularly African-American boys
mm-hmm.
and segregate them even further in the schools in the name of let's help their achievement. Mm-hmm. I find that very, very dangerous. And I think it's also going to be very counterproductive for those that try it.
That sounds to me like a cautionary note, that if, in fact, for instance, African-American boys were being further separated in order to do things for them around building up their sense of self, etc., that it should be done with a precaution. I know that in some circles flies in the face of the continued cry for diverse education and the benefits of diversity, that is, kids being educated in very diverse settings, and what the research shows around that, that there is a benefit. In fact, our federal government has talked about a compelling interest the federal government has in diversity. And so those kinds of segregating tactics may, in fact, be flying in the face of what the government perceives as a compelling interest, which is in diversity.
It absolutely flies in the mm-hmm. face of it, and in fact, even some of the more controversial Supreme Court decisions have also acknowledged the very positive role and the need to look at diversity as we go through our educational systems.
Exactly.
Including it, not just K-12, but also higher ed. So yes, it does fly in the face of it. One of the things that much of the research that is out there on single sex is anecdotal, as opposed to let's do a chi-square and see what the relationships are. One of the things that does happen is a very classic pattern from sociology. I don't know if you want to delve back to your undergraduate work and remember the Hawthorne effect that was shown.
Sure.
Was shown, for those listening to this that don't never had the joy of listening to the Hawthorne effect. The Hawthorne Electric Plant was owned by General Electric. It was in western Massachusetts. And they made radios back in the days when we made radios in the United States. And this was following World War II. And many of the workers on the production line were complaining about the speed of the production line. So the management, as an experiment, handed the production line folks the timer or the button to the conveyor belts and said, you fix the time yourself. Well, guess what? When they first started, the production line was going faster than management had ever thought
Absolutely.
About doing it. And over a period of time, came back to where it had been before. And what is beginning to show in some of the single-sex particular programs that have been instituted, and there was a period you could try it out for research or get permission from the office, U.S. Office for Civil Rights to see if it was going to work. What they found, they didn't. Whatever gains they may have had a gain the first year, possibly the second year, and then it went right back to where it was. So there was that spike, but it did not maintain itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So those expecting long-term benefits out of single-sex classes or single-sex schools need to realize that to be able to sustain that initial punch, which they're going to get.
Absolutely. As
just
you
because we're
typically
paying,
do with innovation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because you're paying attention to students, you're paying attention to learning styles, which, by the way, you can do in a co-ed situation
Absolutely.
If somebody chooses to do that, are going to realize it's going to take an immense amount of effort to sustain that kind of energy.
Well, Kathy, I know our time is running on, but let me ask you this. What would be your cautions to our listeners across the nation about embracing single-sex education or studying it before and being very thoughtful if school districts are talking about moving toward this as a way of bringing about greater achievement for certain populations, particularly those that historically underperform in the school setting, African-American kids in general and black boys in particular, or Latino boys? What would be your cautions, if any?
Oh, I have some cautions.
Okay,
couple of things. One, take your time when doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you've got a well-balanced study group and really look at why you are going to do it, what you're going to hope to accomplish. And then I would very carefully look at the pros and look at the cons of why you're doing it before you make that decision to do it. The other is to work with your administration in your district as well as the school board to develop an appropriate policy around single-sex education within the schools and within the district. One, to protect yourself, and two, to, as a way of thinking through carefully what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Those are excellent. Those are excellent, Kathy. Listen, Kathy, I cannot thank you enough for your having been here and spent a few moments talking with me for this podcast. Let me just ask you, are there some other closing points you would want to make?
Well, I have a very strong preference for co-educational situations because that is how we live our lives.
Absolutely.
Or most of us do. I'm sure some of us periodically would want to head for the cloisters, but most of us live in a co-ed situation, and we will work in a co-ed situation just as our children will. I think it's a better preparation. Title IX gives an enormous amount of protection to our students, our sons and our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things I think people forget. Is Title IX protects our sons as much as our daughters. That the law, as it was wisely written, and the regulation, as it was thoughtfully promulgated, can do exactly what we need it to do for the best of our children.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Kathy Rigsby. She is Assistant Director for InterWest Equity Assistance Center at Colorado State University out of Denver. I want to invite you to go to our website at www.idra.org/podcast. If you have any comments or any questions or any follow-up points you would like to make around this particular session. The other thing is we would welcome your visiting our center and our website in order to make any other kinds of comments that you might wish to make. So that we welcome that. We invite you to tune in again with us. And Kathy, in closing, I just want to thank you once again for having been here. It has been just great listening to the wonderful insights you have shared with us this afternoon. I know that this is only the beginning of a discussion. This is going to continue to unfold across our nation, and I appreciate the insights and the guidance you have given. This is Bradley Scott with the Intercultural Development Research Association signing off and asking you to be sure to take care of yourself until the next time that we have a chance to meet.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.